Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Macabre Podcast Universe.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Micah.
And we exist to prove people wrong when they say sequels are never better than the originals.
That is why we exist. And I'm coming at you with such a somber tone because this was the movie. This was Jordan's.
This is easily one of the worst movies we've ever covered on this podcast. And one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Easily. I don't know what happened. Couldn't understand a word that was said. It was unintelligible. It was like an overstimulation of things. And I hated it.
Jordan was really upset during this movie. And this is like...
It made me think a couple things. But one of the things that made me I kept telling myself was, we need movies like this, because if every movie was good, it would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, this is the optimistic part of me.
Yeah.
Trying to look on the bright side of it.
Yeah.
And then the other side of me that I tend to skew more towards on a daily basis is these people got paid to do this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, as a struggling artist, that sucks.
Well, yes. So I don't think this movie is very good. If that will probably come as no surprise to you, Jordan. Although, here's what I'll say. As far as bad movies go, this gets nowhere near like the level it got for me. This is like, oh, if this is a bad movie, like I can watch this. This is so watchable.
We laughed a lot, but not for the right reasons.
That is true, and that was part of the fun of this movie. But like for me, this doesn't have the stink of, say, like, I don't know, a single Underworld entry, or you know, Hannibal Rising, or some of those other movies we've covered.
But again, I could tell you what happened to those ones. Couldn't tell you what happened in this one.
You could tell me what happened in Hannibal Rising, Jordan.
Yeah, he's rising. He's getting his taste for
That's
human flesh.
A big fat no. I saw someone that I follow on Letterboxd recently watched Hannibal Rising for God knows what purpose. And they mentioned something about like how like the girl that has the samurai mask and stuff that he gets. And I was like, oh yeah, there's like a samurai portion of Hannibal Rising. What a weird movie.
They tried.
Yeah, I still think that maybe holds the record for my least favorite movie we've covered. But I feel like there was something recently that really made me mad.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, doesn't matter.
We did record a 30-minute Ring episode.
That's true. That's way better than Hannibal Rising, though. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Lethal Weapon 3, a movie with one of the craziest posters in movie history, where you have
Sal, and Joe.
We have Riggs and Murtaugh back-to-back with their guns up, a la Charlie's Angel. The tagline says, "The magic is back again." And then
peeking over their shoulders,
yes,
is Joe Pesci.
And it's like weird CGI fingers. If you haven't looked it up, you should look it up and really zoom in on it.
It's not CGI fingers. It's just Photoshop.
Or Photoshop fingers on their back. Like, clearly there was no fingers on their back. They're Photoshopped on. And then he's like not in a position that looks like he was there. It doesn't look possible.
Yeah.
And he's got bleach blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I read, and on Wikipedia it said citation needed, so I don't know if this is true, but theaters around the nation had a pop-up, like, 3D cutout of this to promote the movie, and there was a motor that had, like, Joe Pesci, like, peeking up and down.
No way.
It did say citation needed, so I don't know for sure. But if you saw that, folks, please let us know, and go cite it on Wikipedia. But yeah, we're talking Lethal Weapon 3. Now, this one, if you've been following along, you know that Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 are classic macabre watches. But 3 and 4, we didn't watch nearly as much. And in this movie, I remembered one scene, period. That was it. There was nothing else I remembered in this movie. So I think I've seen this movie maybe just one time.
Okay.
So this is the second time I've seen it. And so with each one of these movies, I have a unique memory attached to them. And this one, I think, is quite funny because it shows how crazy I am. Is she waking up right now?
I think the neighbor's dog they're barking or something.
Oh, they probably are.
I don't hear them anymore, and I think she's falling back asleep.
Okay. So, and we're leaving that in. So, in classic fashion, and this might even make you a little mad at me, Jordan, in the past, because this is just too Micah on the nose. We're at school, and somebody, Shane O'Hara, hosts a big old, you know, I believe it was like...
Is this who you made everyone watch them?
Let's just get to the story, but I can tell you're right on the money.
He probably was having a birthday or some kind of party, and no, you came with an agenda.
Last day of school, I believe. And it was probably like sophomore, junior, maybe senior year. Not senior year, but sophomore, junior. And he's like, everybody come over afterwards. So everybody comes over, and I'm like, perfect. What do I like to do when I'm hanging out with friends?
Dude, that's so boring.
Is sit down and watch a movie, right? We're all so excited to be out of school. We want to do stuff. What's the perfect thing to do to contain our excitement? Watch a movie, of course.
Well, watching one movie, sure, of course.
Now, one would think, okay, maybe people don't know about these Lethal Weapon movies. We're all a bit younger. So it would make sense, right, to start on Lethal Weapon 1. Or maybe even watch like the classic Lethal Weapon 2, right? But no. Micah pushes for, of course, the movie that he is personally on because he'd been watching the series and hadn't watched the third one yet. So guess what? We all sit down and we watch Lethal Weapon 3. And Shane's house. Jordan's so mad at me right now.
That is so dumb.
And Jack, if you remember this, please let me know about it. Because you were probably there. And the only thing I remember is the scar scene where they're showing each other scars. That's the only thing. And I don't think we finished the movie. I think I had to finish it at home. Because I think it reached a point where people were like, let's just like go like watch something else or do something else. But yes, that is my Lethal Weapon Brother. 3 memory. Jordan's so mad
so
at me.
Dumb.
I'm sleeping on the couch tonight. But that's by choice. We got a comfy couch. All right, so let me tell you about who made this movie. Again, Richard Donner. He directed all four of these, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah. It's puzzling at the same time.
Well, there's some funny, interesting things that I got to tell you that relate to him. So the screenplay is by Jeffrey Boehm, and he gets a story by credit. Now, he, like in the first movie, there was the guy who like wrote behind the scenes, and then in the second movie, he got a full credit, and then Jeffrey Boehm wrote behind the scenes and got like partial credit, I think.
Like story by credit.
Something like that. And then in this movie, he gets the full credit, and then another guy did like rewrites. So it's like each movie has had like the same writing process.
Weird.
Which maybe makes sense why the first movie has the most coherent story, even though we like the second movie.
I never said that about the first movie, so do not put words in my mouth.
Right.
I said the story and this everything about the second movie is better, including the story, so don't put words
okay,
in my
okay,
mouth.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay. So the other person on this is Robert Mark Kamen, and he created The Karate Kid. He wrote Fifth Element, Transporter, and Taken, and now...
Wow, that's crazy.
His Wikipedia let us know that he now makes wine in Sonoma, California.
Okay, when are we going?
It was like, oh yeah, if you timed it right, you could get an interview and a bottle of wine. What am I thinking?
What?
And
so I think it's confirmed that Micah's brain is still broken.
So this, it's just so funny because and it's still something I struggle with.
I know,
of course.
I know.
But where it's like, hey, why don't you guys all come over? And it's like, I've already seen that movie. Like, let's watch another movie. Or like, that movie's not good. Let's watch. Instead of just going with the flow, you know.
You're too high strung, man.
The cinematographer is Jan de Bont. Now, we've talked about him on Patreon on a little episode called Speed that we came out with in 2022. A really great episode and a perfect plug for you to go to patreon.com/MicahMcCaw and sign up, get a free trial, listen to the episode, and if you like it, listen to this month's episode with Michael Combs where we covered Tron Legacy. And get us to 50 patrons by the end of the year. Okay? Please. Hello. Here we go. Jan de Bont. So he becomes a director, but he's more famously a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is 2 years before Speed.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in those 2 years, he learned how to shoot action because Speed is a great action
movie.
Oh my gosh,
yeah. Because when it popped up with his name, it's like, okay, so the action will probably be pretty cool.
And the action was not pretty
good in
this
movie.
Let me just
say, this movie was unintelligible.
Yeah.
In all shapes and forms.
And both 1 and 2 have pretty great action sequences, and this did not.
No. I couldn't understand what was happening.
But maybe it's, you know, I don't know how much he's to blame for that. You know, it could be an editing thing.
It could be, but also it's his job. So,
yeah.
Everyone involved in this.
But there was that freeway scene, and it, you just see him, and he's like, man, what if a whole movie was on a freeway? Yeah. So then the music is again by Kamen, Clapton, and Sanborn. I was curious if the Kamen music writer was related to the screenplay, Robert Mark Kamen.
And you didn't find anything?
I didn't really look it up, to be honest with you. Okay. But I wonder.
Yeah, that's great for podcasts.
I'm just wondering. You know, we don't have all the answers. We can find a few, though.
We're barely squeaking out this episode.
Yeah, we're coming in and we're just going to quickly squeak out this episode. So this movie comes out May 15th, 1992, which is about a year and a half before a bright young boy will enter the world, December 22nd, 93. $35 million budget. Makes 144 domestically, makes 319 worldwide. It's no wonder that they made four of these things. These things are blockbusters. So, it's funny to me that there was like a whole section, and it was like production, and it's just talking about how Donner was an animal rights and pro-choice activist, and he made sure there were lots of posters and stickers and a t-shirt.
Oh,
in the movie.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's the production of the movie. Interesting.
Yeah.
But then it went on to the actual production of the movie. So at the beginning of the movie, when they set off that bomb, that is a real demolition. Hence why the explosion looks so cool.
Do you know what it was? Like, was a building being like...
Yeah, it was a building that was getting torn down in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And so they paid them $500,000 to film it and to do their own thing with it.
Cool. Fun.
And then at the end of the movie... So Jordan and I were watching the end. The end is probably the best action sequence.
I don't know.
Kind of cool. Where they're driving through the undeveloped housing place.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, I thought that was...
First scene, last scene felt like a fun day at the office. If you're making
movies. Yeah. But that sequence, we were trying to figure out, like, how cheap that would be. And we're thinking, oh, they probably threw up all this, like, cheap plywood and all this stuff. That was there. And it was an abandoned housing project that was set to be torn down.
Weird.
So, like, they're just able to do all of that.
Wow, what a find.
Yeah. I also found out that Carrie Fisher did an uncredited rewrite on this movie.
Well, that's not present anywhere. Because she's, like, really good at that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But she just has done a ton of that. It'd be interesting to see a whole list of all of her uncredited rewrites.
I'm just saying it didn't show. No. Okay.
And I did not know this, but there was a post-credit scene in this movie, Jordan.
Okay.
Where it pulled up, and it's clearly not Danny and Mel Gibson. They drive up to this hotel.
But are they like doing that? Like, we're not seeing their faces, and it's like,
yeah. And they're like, you hear Danny, and he's like, oh, let's wait for the bomb squad. Let's wait for the bomb squad. And he's like, ah, come on, let's get out. And the car parks, and this guy gets out, and it's all just like one shot, and he's far away. And then he's like, what was it? Was it red wire or blue wire? And then this hotel blows up, another demolition that they found out about and were able to use.
What?
And then they pulled back and drive away, and they're like, oh, I hope nobody saw us, and they drive away, and then they say, man, we're getting too old for this shit, at the same time as this hotel blows up. For real.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was that. Okay. Real hockey game they filmed at.
Cool. Yeah, obviously.
For some of the sequence. Some of it, you know, they're shooting at different times night and stuff like that, but yeah. And then, yes, here is the script breakdown. Okay. In the original script, Lorna, who's the Rene Russo character, she was a boy in the script. Probably a man, really. And Riggs had an affair with...
him?
With Murtaugh's daughter in that.
Ooh.
I know. And Donner got the script, and he was
said,
like...
Ew.
He said, no, let's make this a woman.
Yeah.
and will make her his girlfriend in this movie.
Yeah.
So that's a better choice. But he also made a couple of other choices to the script that Jeffrey Boehm was not didn't originally have, and I think make the movie worse.
This is Richard Donner.
Yeah, he's reworked the script to be less story oriented.
I think he entirely threw out a story. Not less, he threw it out.
Yeah, he brought back Leo Getz.
Fine.
Which is funny because in our last episode you said maybe he's basically as Dwayne The Rock Johnson called himself after he entered the Fast and Furious, maybe Joe Pesci is the Viagra that a franchise needs. But I think it was a one trick pony because I thought he was nails on a chalkboard in this movie.
As was everyone else.
But I also just wanted to point that out because I didn't know if you knew that Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he's franchise Viagra.
That's I think I have he heard said. That.
Yeah, he sucks. Boehm was fired after he writes two drafts.
Okay.
Then Kamen is hired to rewrite, and then they bring back Boehm.
Okay.
And they're working on it together, and then all of Kamen's stuff isn't really working, so then Boehm's like, can I just rewrite it again? And they do. Have him do it.
Okay.
And he is credited twice in the screenplay by credits.
Why?
So this is because he did one draft by himself, granting him the first credit, and a second draft collaborating with Robert Mark Kamen, granting him the second credit.
Okay.
And yeah, that's what I have on this movie. But some of Kamen's stuff did make it into the movie.
Why
but,
would you
yeah.
choose to make it less story oriented? What is that? Why?
Well, okay.
You need a MacGuffin, and the movie did not have one.
No, yeah. No, I think it's the wrong choice. But I think if you like take a step back and get rid of the quality of these movies, Shane Black writes the first one, and it seems to be grittier and much more focused on like the story and that tone. Studios and Donner are like, well, let's make it a little bit lighthearted and a little bit more fun. And then they get to make the second one. They fire Shane Black, or he leaves, and they're like, well, let's like really let the actors like do their thing. That's the magic of this series is Mel Gibson and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
And so they do a little bit of that, but there's actually an interesting story in two. And then in three, Donner's like, well, we've come this far. Like the magic is them. I don't really care about the other spots. Let's just let them have fun again. So I think it's like a natural.
But you can do that while having a story. Because if that's like you're throwing away the foundation of literally anything.
I don't disagree with you. I see how you get there.
They need something to do.
Yeah.
I see how you get there if you're like early in a career maybe. But this man's made a lot of movies.
But I do think if you are Richard Donner, and I believe my dad would tell me that like back in the day, you'd hear people all the time saying they F you in the drive-thru and stuff and like quoting stuff from this movie, like the funny stuff. So you do hear that, like, that's the stuff people like about this movie. They're not talking about the South Africans.
That's fine. But make a coherent movie.
Oh, and again, I don't disagree with you. I just see how you get there as an artist.
I don't care how you get there. Make a coherent movie.
Well, why don't you hit me with the actors that have been added to this?
Rene Russo, who plays Lorna Cole.
One of the great character names.
Nightcrawler, the Thomas Crown Affair remake. Ransom. She's in Avengers Endgame.
Really?
Frigga. Can you look up who that is?
In Avengers Endgame. I feel like that's got to be someone on. Like, that's got to be an Asgardian.
Thor. Oh, Thor's mom. She's Thor's mom.
She's Thor's mom?
I'm pretty sure, but just double check me. Yours, Mine, and Ours, which was a movie I really liked growing up, cannot hold up.
Oh, yeah, totally. Wow, I never...
Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, blah-bitty-blah.
Oh, the one with Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro's in that? Isn't Danny DeVito in that?
Wait, can you click it? And isn't Robert De Niro in that?
I gotta go back to it.
I feel like I saw that movie in theaters, but
I didn't
really
see it
sure.
in theaters, but it would play on TV, and that's when I would watch it. And I thought it was funny. It's got a terribly low rating. It's got Jason Alexander and Robert De Niro.
Okay. The one I remember being so excited about and seeing, but I don't remember anything about it, is Dudley Do-Right. Did you see that movie with Brendan Fraser?
What is that?
He's like a Monty.
What's that?
like the Canadian.
Oh, okay. Oh no, I've never
seen
it. And
it's based on a comic strip or a cartoon.
Micah, who's in the movie?
Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Okay. And then Stuart Wilson plays Jack Travis. That's like our main bad guy, I guess. He's in Hot Fuzz, The Mask of Zorro, Marauders, Crossbones. I don't know.
I think for what he was given, I give him a good job.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing I do for Renee Russo. I think she's really good in this movie. It's just like unfortunate writing.
Yeah.
And not even in a sexist way. To me, it just was like not well written in general, the whole movie.
That's basically it.
I had to take a deep breath there.
You okay?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Should we talk about the plot of this movie?
I guess we should just continue.
Do you want to inject a little fun in the episode and tell people what series we're covering next? Because it is the second to the last.
Could if I knew.
You do know.
I don't remember.
You just have to think about it.
I don't remember.
It's a series we're covering because we saw a trailer for the new one and got so excited because the trailer.
Planet of the Apes, finally.
Yep, we are.
And that does include the Tim Burton one.
It does.
Okay.
We are doing the entire.
Micah was like, I don't want to do it because I don't want to cover that movie. Maybe we wouldn't cover it. And then I was arguing and saying, you have to cover all of them if you do it.
Yeah.
And we're doing it. Because even though that movie's so bad, but it's part of the history. And why do we have this podcast? But to cover even movies like Lethal Weapon 3.
It's true. Planet of the Apes makes Lethal Weapon 3 look like The Godfather. I will tell you that much. The 2001 movie.
I don't know, because there's no cool makeup in this movie.
No, but there's
and
cool explosions.
And there's probably a plot. Probably too much of a plot. But the plot, a plot nonetheless.
I remember.
And it doesn't have Mel Gibson.
doing his American quote accent.
Pretending to be a police officer. He is not acting. He is pretending. Let me just make that clear.
I think he's just too iconic as Riggs to me for me to be unbiased in this opinion.
Okay.
Although the accent thing is really throwing me off.
It's
I mean,
insane.
I haven't watched.
Do you think
watched
that they make fun of that in Sunny?
I bet they do.
I hope so.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, Sonny? I don't know. I know that, again, we announced it a little early, but next week we will be covering not only Lethal Weapon 4, but we'll be coming out with a bonus episode on Lethal Weapon 5, 6, and 7, of course. You know, so you can look forward to those. We're not going to miss out on those, even though they did premiere on TV, but they were TV movies. So we're counting that this time around. We'll be covering those. Yeah, but Planet of the Apes is going to be fun, and it'll be fun to tell people why, like, really dig into the why we are covering it, even though I kind of just said it, but
yeah. The
whole, it's funny. It's kind of funny. All right, so this movie begins. We have a title sequence and a song a la that lovable lad from Liverpool, James Bond, 007. It's just showing fire, and there's a guy who's like, you know, I set fire to the rain, watched it burn as a, and that's an Adele song. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But it's a kind of this lame song that's playing. Set Fire to the Rain is not a lame song. Don't get me confused there. And then it zooms out and it's like Lethal Weapon Fire 3. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how
it
feels.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Opening scene, there is someone finds a car with a bomb in it inside this parking garage, and
8 days to retirement.
Riggs and Murtaugh show up for no reason, simply because it's something to do.
I know.
And they insert themselves in the situation and go and try and disarm.
Yeah, how to dismantle an atomic bomb by YouTube.
Dismantle the bomb, which is mostly just Riggs wants to do it, and Murtaugh follows him. He's 8 days from retirement, and he reminds us of this throughout the movie constantly. Which,
it's fine. That's fine. That's his whole thing. But what's funny, okay, so this whole thing happens, and of course he like, you know, he's like, I'm just going to snip a wire. And all of this I think is actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think this is a good scene. And you know, he's like, I really want to cut the blue wire. And then Danny's like, why would you cut that one? And he's like, I don't know. I just am ready to cut the red wire. And he's like, you just said blue wire and stuff. Yeah. And he cuts one. It speeds up. They have to run out.
There's a cat. It's funny.
They literally save the cat at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Now, the problem I have with it, though, is just on like a motive level. I understand in order to do that funny scene and blow everything up, they have to not have any civilians inside.
Mm-hmm.
But it is odd. I know that Riggs is crazy, but it's odd to start the movie where they're like, hey, we've evacuated the whole building. We're just waiting for the bomb squad now. And then he's like, I'm going to go in there anyway and try to dismantle this bomb. And there's like all this tension, like, are they going to dismantle it? And I'm like, I don't care if they dismantle it. No one's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? And then
other than our main characters potentially dying, which we know won't happen because it's the beginning of the movie.
And then they drop a cat. It's like, why couldn't they have gone in and they saw like a kid instead of a cat? And then it'd be like, oh crap, they got
to
like...
Yeah, a real reason to go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of indicative of this whole movie where it's like,
yeah,
okay, so there's violence and there's bad things happening.
Someone
but like,
jaywalks and he pulls out a gun. Yeah.
But it's all just like, it's all like feigned violence. It doesn't really matter.
No. Just like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a perfect analogy for the whole
movie. So in the first movie, from my memory and how I feel, it kind of takes a while for us to get started on the actual investigation.
Sure.
Sort of. Yeah. And what I mean by that is our main characters getting started on it.
Yeah.
Kind of have to make it through the first act of being introduced to them and them being introduced to each other until they finally start working on it.
Which is also like, it's a first movie. You got to introduce these characters.
I get that. Yeah. But there, to me, it's like there's part of my issue with that movie is just there's so much randomness that I was like, can't we just focus this a little bit?
Yeah.
One of my criticisms. This movie was exactly the same starting off, but it's the third movie now.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I need to see continuous hijinks? And I actually can't understand what's happening with all of this. And then I would say like almost three quarters into this movie, we finally get into the plot.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm getting upset because this movie... The people who made this movie, it's getting personal. They're wasting my time.
This time, it's personal.
They're wasting my time.
Yeah.
And anyone's time who's watching it.
A lot of movies have become more personal to us because we have a child now. So when it's like, oh, we have the time to watch a movie. And when you're not good, oh, we about to be pissed off. Go ahead.
That's kind of it.
Oh.
I'm just mad about it. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Well, okay. Well, yes. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. So then after that, they get put on the beat, as they call it, in cop terms. And so they're walking around. And the other, like, odd thing about this movie is everything is random in this movie. So, like, they're on the beat, and Mel Gibson just wants to scare this jaywalker. And he pulls a gun on him and stuff like that. And it is kind of a funny scene. And then when he walks away, they start laughing like it was all just a joke. And then Riggs like looks and in the corner of his eyes, he sees Jordan's shaking her head. He sees that there's this armored bank car. And like this lady comes up and she's like, hey, what happened to Phil?
You didn't sign for it. And then another bank car shows up and these people robbed this bank.
Yeah.
Pretending to be. What is that really called?
Armed security?
The people that move money.
Yeah.
So they just robbed it. Riggs goes after the car. Murtaugh gets into the other car with the lady. And this is when the movie is really like, leading up to it, it's like, whatever. My attention's starting to wane.
Yeah.
But once we got to this scene, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
it was. I couldn't figure it was shot like so bad. I can't even figure out words anymore to express how much I hated how frenetic this was.
Uh-huh.
And how I couldn't understand.
Well, there's a great word right there.
I couldn't understand a word people were saying.
Yeah, so can you?
I can't, because I don't know what happened.
No, can you, just for the audience, explain why, like, some of your understanding of why the words are that way?
Everyone's shouting. I don't know. And everyone's mumbling and everyone's talking over each other. I actually don't know how a script was written.
Yeah.
If this is the lines people are supposed to say. I don't get it.
Yeah.
How do you make this movie?
I don't know.
And this isn't your first rodeo. You're three movies deep into a franchise. And this isn't even like the first three movies you've ever made.
This feels like the modern equivalent would be like, oh, there were those two really great movies. And then they're like, well, the director wants to move on and do their own passion project. And so we've hired this guy who's directed like one indie movie. And we're going to see how he does. That's how this movie feels.
Yeah. And he has a vague understanding of how these kinds of movies
work. Blocking works.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's this big, long chase. And there's... is she awake? Oh, okay. Let me just finish this chase. There's a big, long chase. And this woman is like feeling up Murtaugh for randomly no reason. And, you know, it's crazy. And they're able to stop it. And they do a lot of police brutality.
Yeah. Yeah.
The police brutality is funny in this movie, though.
Police brutality. I like that. That's accurate.
The police brutality. And we'll return after these messages. There won't be any messages, folks. So now we really come to it. We come to Joe Pesci. We mentioned him, but now we need to really mention Joe Pesci. So
he's now a realtor.
Yes.
He's selling Murtaugh's house. Blonde got an earring. Obnoxious, but always has been obnoxious.
Lovable, though.
Lovable.
Mm-hmm. But, I really don't think he works even a little bit in this movie. And I think part of it is the really loose... I mean, he's a real estate agent selling his house. Why would he trust him to sell his house? It's just like, we're just doing bits at this point because there's like people he's showing the house to and they're... Like Riggs and Murtaugh and the family are like hiding in the house.
Which the hiding doesn't make sense. And then he's telling them all the bad stuff that's happened to this house. Like a car's driven through it. There was a bomb in the bathroom. It's stuff that's like, I don't really know why this would deter people from buying it.
Uh-huh.
Because they fixed everything.
Right.
I don't get it.
So that's all happening. And he has bleach blonde hair. You already said that.
Yeah.
And, so instead of, like, just off the cuff, it's like, why, which he kind of points out later, but why would you not be like, hey, Leo, we're working on this case, and it might be connected to some people you laundered drugs with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's a way in if you need him in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
But then Murtaugh has a conversation with his son, who is like hanging out with you know, a shady looking group of people. And his son says word. And he's kind of like, word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we show Jack, whoever, the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts someone in concrete and they kill him. And he says, now that's a foundation we can build a relationship on.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're like, I don't know, a half hour into this movie.
Don't know who this is. Don't know who this other guy is, who he's talking to. I don't know what they're doing other than I guess they're bad and they're illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it doesn't take a genius to think like what they could be doing.
Right.
But the movie still never quite says until we're very late into it.
Yeah.
So it's just like just some guy to put another guy in concrete. That's murder.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the only crime he's committed.
Right. So we have all that, and then Riggs and Murtaugh are just hanging out, you know, downtown.
So this is, again, Riggs just looks off into the distance and sees a crime being committed.
Yeah.
Is this time, or is this with his daughter?
This is the daughter
one. Oh, so it's the first one, where he sees Murtaugh's daughter being held by a dude robbing a place.
Yeah.
And he goes and just, he's such a cop about it.
Yeah.
And they were just shooting something.
And this is one of those things.
It's just screaming. It's screaming.
It's just screaming, but it's also like, it's obvious when people are filming stuff. I know it's just funny that like people who make movies will do something this not possible would happen on a set.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. a guy running out with a gun and they're getting audio and stuff. And it's just an open set that anyone can run into.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, especially that kind of scene that they're shooting, that it is just in the broad daylight.
And so they get mad, and then they fire the daughter, and then he makes them hire her back. And that's what... Is she waking up?
I think so.
She is?
It's not even been 30 minutes. I think we're too loud.
I have the sound bar on.
That's the only difference.
Well, I mean, it's the last nap of the day, and this is all staying in the episode.
Let's just talk for a little bit longer.
Then Murtaugh, accidentally, because he's getting old, fires his gun in the locker, and Riggs covers for him, and he's like, "Ah, I'm so angry.
I'm so mad. And again, just shouting. Uh-huh. Just shouting. Uh-huh. What should have been like a scary moment.
Uh-huh.
Also, like, kind of sweet, too, because of him covering for him, just turned into a cacophony of sounds.
Yep.
That was just like, that happened, and then we go to the next scene. Everything just feels like, and then this happens, and then that happened.
There's no
glue. And then
that
happened. No.
Because then, right after this, they...
They're in the shooting range?
Are they? Oh, yeah, with the armor-piercing bullets.
Yeah. And so then that happens.
Yeah. And then finally it's like, okay, we have a little bit of plot happening where one of the guys that they're interrogating gets killed by the Jack character.
Yeah.
And they get introduced to Rene Russo, Lorna.
Who's internal affairs.
Yeah.
So she's taking over. It was so funny was she comes in and she's like, "I'm taking over your guys' case." And I thought, what case? I have no idea what case they're working on.
Yeah.
I have not a clue what's happening.
And they're like so offended.
They're so mad about it. And it's just like, were you guys working on a case? I don't know.
You just stopped like a robbery by all means. Like that's kind of all
and
that
as far
we
as
know.
I could tell, you were taken off a case because of the bomb thing at the beginning.
Right.
Because this is when their boss, chief, reinstates them.
Yeah.
Or like gives them, on the case. And even when he does that, still, it's like, I don't know what's happening. I know someone came in and shot a witness.
I know.
And you guys don't seem to be taking it that seriously.
Yeah.
There's no, like, shutting down the building.
No.
And interrogating everybody that works there.
Yeah.
I know they have him on camera and stuff, but it's like, how did he get in so easily? Which, I'm getting nitpicky about that. I know,
but it's... Well, and then when they see the camera, it's just the angle that the scene was shot in, which is always my favorite thing
like that.
In movies.
Well, is that just pure laziness?
It's gotta be.
Because you're a professional.
Yeah, it's not even a different shot. It is just the shot. It's like the close-up of him as mm-hmm. he shot the guy.
It perplexes me every time that shows up in movies.
And they messed up on the one-liners. Okay, the guy comes in and he goes, "Hello, Bill." And then he goes, "See you later, Bill," shoots him. And then he goes, "Bye, Bill." And I'm like, cut out the "see you later." He says, "Hello, Bill," shoots him, walks out, says, "Bye, Bill."
Yeah.
Come on. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
And still, what are we doing here? Is she still awake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how far you want to go?
What's next? And then what happens?
Well, then Leo just walks into the police station as he's wont to do, apparently. And he's like, hey, guys. And then he's like, oh, that guy that you're looking at on the interrogation scene. I know who that is. That's Jack, whatever. He likes hockey. Let's go to a hockey game and track him
and
down.
And then that happens.
And then they go to a hockey game.
And then they're just fanning out, combing through the hockey game. You'd think that, and I guess I don't, I've never been to a professional hockey. Was this professional?
Yeah.
I've never been to a professional hockey game, but I assume since it's a professional sport, there are box seats.
Uh-huh.
So I was surprised that this guy would be
he's a man of the people.
He is a man of the people that he was like pretty close down there. And it's like, he seems like a guy that would want box seats.
Yeah.
Which would be the first place I would look.
I mean, it's dumbfounding, all of this.
And they're just, oh man. Yeah. So they're just coming out and then Riggs is like, "Jack, stay in your seat. We're coming to get you. The place is surrounded by police."
And then Danny Glover's like, "Oh yeah, nice.
Good one.
You're like, I don't know what he's saying.
Then Jack starts running. Leo was running after him. They get out on the ice and have a tussle.
Yeah.
Leo gets shot, like in the arm.
Yeah, Leo gets shot in this movie.
And then Jack runs off. And it's just like, what is happening?
And then it's like, oh, now we're at the hospital and they're making it so that they can keep Leo there, which is funny.
That's funny. Yeah.
And then he's writing like on the doctor's notes, all the things that they should examine Leo with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, you know what? Let's go get a burger.
Yep. out of all of this, it's just like, I want to make you a burger. I'm going to go in to this burger joint. And make you one personally without washing my hands. And he's like Do you see how he was holding the pad? It looked like a Tim and Eric sketch. Like,
yeah. He's like, you gotta baby the burger.
You gotta massage ground beef. And it was disgusting watching his unwashed hands just fondle it. And then.
And the reason I'm talking like that is so that if you didn't watch the movie, you could experience what it feels like watching the movie. Yes.
And while Riggs is sitting there again, he just turns his head
for the third time in the movie.
And sees a crime being committed.
For the third time in this movie.
Was that the third? I think it was the second.
Well, if you count the daughter. Where
but then what's another time?
The jaywalker. He's talking to the jaywalker, turns, and the catalyst of the whole movie is that he sees the like bank vault robbery thing.
Oh my gosh, they did do it three times.
Three times. Like, what are we talking about? And so... Then there's like this big shootout, and it's like these young kids, and Murtaugh shoots one of them.
Well, this is right before that, though. Riggs gets hit in the head with a board, and he
runs three times,
and he gets jammed into the porta potty. Also, they're hiding behind it, and I just think that bullets would zip right through.
They would, and they've established that they have armor piercing bullets.
These guys do.
Yeah, these are the bad guys. Like they're.
I thought that they just
armed
were kind
by the
of
bad
like.
Guys.
I guess I assume that they're just people, like they're having their own gang doing stuff, and they're buying guns from Jack.
Well, and maybe it is, but
which I guess they would
also
buy.
I think it's pretty safe to assume that they have armor piercing, but it's not going through the porta potty where he's hiding. A guy hits him in the board. He goes face first into this porta potty. It is one of it was right there. I'm like, all right, 10 out of 10. Like I love this movie now because
it was funny, but
it's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. I absolutely love it. It's just like that shot in Lethal Weapon 2. I think Mel Gibson's pretty bad at like faking getting knocked out.
Mel Gibson's pretty bad. Period.
Because he gets knocked out in 2, and the way he falls is so funny as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we might just have to watch every Mel Gibson movie now.
Please don't torture me like that.
I just want to know about the accent.
Oh, I do want to know about the accent.
Maybe we should look up just scenes.
Okay, so Braveheart, he's Scottish, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He can get away with it. But like in The Patriot,
yeah.
Does he have an accent?
Probably. And I just didn't notice it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We'll have to look up that scene in Ransom when he's like talking to the bad guy and he's like,
never seen that movie fully.
Yeah. Well, where he's like, I have $1 million, but I'm going to give it to whoever finds you and tracks you down. We should see if in that scene, because he would break in that scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
anyway, Murtaugh shoots one of the people, turns out to be his son's friend
that we saw earlier.
So he kills
his
son's friend.
And he's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Understandable.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Good place to stop and take care of baby.
Fine. Yes. Not fine taking care of baby. I just want to finish this episode.
So now we come to another crazy scene in this movie. Do you know what I'm going to say? Oh, did you just turn on a different song on accident?
I just turned it off.
Oh, okay. We have a Bluetooth speaker with white noise for the baby, and Jordan almost made a terrible mistake.
What's the scene?
So Lorna and Mel start investigating. What they're investigating, I'm not sure.
Well, I think it is around this time that she brings him into her office and explains that all of this.
She's like, "You're a guy. I'm a girl."
Well, the gun. This I do know.
Okay.
So Murtaugh kills the kid with the gun.
Yeah.
They get that gun, and she's like, "This gun in my computer says it was taken off the streets."
That's right.
On this date. What is it doing back out on the streets? And you and I both said, we're just now finding out what this movie is about.
Yeah.
It took like 3/4 of the movie to get to this point.
And then
it's a pretty interesting plot too. That's the funny thing about Richard Donner saying like, I don't want it to be so story heavy. It's like, you can still have an interesting story and have your characters live within it.
Right.
What's so bad about that?
I don't know. Because also, like, because the movie doesn't take the time, my brain automatically is like, well, okay, so Jack has access to this stuff. I don't even know if that's the character's name. I'm pretty sure
it is. Because they say it a lot.
Okay. They're like, they mumble it a lot and yell it a lot. So Jack has access to this. But it's like, but he's not a cop anymore. And they know he's like a fugitive. So I don't think he does have access to this stuff anymore. Like, how does that work?
Other than having connections within the force, which means you have a bunch of people working against, like, who are within the LAPD.
Which would be, like, its own whole, like, half of the movie that you'd have to
you would
figure
need
that
this to be the movie. This is the conspiracy.
Well, yeah, and it's like, that's pretty interesting. And you know, I was actually kind of thinking, because last year we covered Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time watching all of those movies. I'd only seen the first one. And I kind of think, and I wouldn't have said this years ago, but I do feel like, I think Dirty Harry's, like, as a series, way better than this series.
Yeah. That's self-evident.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put it that way before, because I love the first and second movie, but this is such a steep decline immediately. Yeah,
it is falling off a cliff head first.
Yeah. So the scene I wanted to talk about, though, is they go into this house and a Rottweiler walks up.
Oh my gosh.
And Mel Gibson decides to get on all fours because he doesn't want her to shoot the dog. And he starts imitating whatever the dog is doing. We have an actor doing this in a movie, and it's not, I mean, I guess this movie is comedic, but this scene actually is not played comedically at all.
Nope.
It's like, oh, that's smart, you know? And the whole movie, he's been trying to get over, this is kind of funny, if they had, like, done, I don't know, a better writer, this is funny, is, like, he's eating dog biscuits because he's trying to get over having cigarettes.
Smoking.
Sounded like I was trying to be politically correct about it or something. I just couldn't remember the words, unfortunately. But I don't know. The whole dog biscuit thing is dumb. And then at this scene, it's like, oh, he's becoming a dog because he's eating all the biscuits.
I didn't even go that far.
It's crazy.
I just thought, I just couldn't help but think of, like, being on set that day, watching that and thinking, am I in the wrong line of work? Am I wasting my time, my family's time?
But it's Lethal Weapon 3. You got to feel invincible at this point.
I know. I'm just saying, if you're like a crew member, that's just, yeah, you're working behind the scenes and you're watching this. And maybe you're a big fan of the first two. And you're like, wow, I finally get to work on these movies.
You're Jan de Bont. You're excited.
Yeah. And then you're seeing
what's happening.
You're seeing Mel do this and you're like, you know, maybe he was a big role model for you, or you really admire him as an actor and you watched that.
We all know Mel Gibson, famous role model.
Yeah. But you just lose all respect for probably anyone that's touched this movie, including yourself.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
They find guns in this place with the bad guys, fight with the bad guys. The hand-to-hand combat is just atrociously terrible. But
it's not good.
I do give a little
He's still
bit
doing
to this
his
time.
His Three Stooges style.
Don't even get me started. So they drive out with a truck with a bunch of the guns for evidence, get the dog, so on and so forth.
Yeah, dog becomes friends with his other dog.
That's the one good thing to happen in this movie.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of good things, and we've already outlined a couple of them. So, you know, we have not really discussed Riggs's hair in this franchise.
Yeah.
Your claim, and I think I'm inclined to agree with you, is in one, it looks cool and crazy.
I don't know if I ever said that.
No. Well, let me go through. Okay. And then in two, it looks a little less good. And then this one, there's something about it where it looks really bad.
Really bad.
But would it surprise you to learn that in the fourth one, he has a short haircut?
That is surprising based on the character.
Yeah. And that seems like a mistake right there. That's like the Felicity where she cut
her
hair. I
just can't believe Jet Li and Chris Rock are in the next one.
Yeah. But, well, man, we're going to be talking.
We finally have to talk about it in the next week.
We got to talk about the slap.
Yeah. Finally.
I mean, oh, it's going to be a tough episode.
How do you talk about Chris Rock without talking about the slap?
Yeah, especially 20 years before it even happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we'll probably see those glimpses, like him flinching in every take. He's like, here he comes. yeah, okay. So then he goes back to Lorna's house, and they start showing each other scars. I actually think this scene is decent. It's definitely, like, cheesy, but...
It is, but remember what happened before that?
No.
She's, like, changing, and he goes over to her computer. First of all, we're pretty sure this is the Bowfinger house.
Yes.
It looks a lot like the house in Bowfinger, just like completely dressed and like painted different.
Yeah.
But he goes over to her computer and turns off the screensaver, and there's like a Three Stooges game.
Video game
on her computer.
Not explained.
She comes back and she's like, I told you not to come back, touch my computer. And she says something like, you wouldn't understand. Like you shouldn't even look at that. It's like, she doesn't seem embarrassed by it.
No. She said it like, oh, if you press the wrong button, it's going to delete all the police files and I'll get fired. That's like the tone in which she delivered it.
But it's Three Stooges.
And it's never explained, and there's not a joke attached to it.
No.
It's not like he's like, oh, whoop, 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 and she's like, me, 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 or something. I don't know.
What if they started
having sex? Communicating
as like, but they were
like,
doing it a lot. Whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoa, joink.
Why didn't they do that?
A real missed opportunity.
I know.
I you know what I'm going to say? We all know Jet Li, very famous for martial arts. I don't remember which practice of martial arts, but... I mean, that's
Is it not Wing Chun because of his dad? Because his dad was trained by?
Ip Man.
That's just a guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know at all.
I don't even know if Bruce Lee's... I'm not sure he was Wing Chun. I think he knew Wing Chun, but I don't think that was his speciality.
Okay.
But I'm really talking out of my butt. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Cut that.
having said that, though... I don't remember what happens in 4 at all. I only remember one scene in the movie. Same. And it's when Chris Rock joins in on that they F you thing.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to end with him like Three Stooging, like, you know, like poking Jet Li's eyes or something like that. That's what I think is going to happen. But I'm not sure. Oh, I remember two scenes for that movie actually, but they don't have to.
Oh, so it does happen. Stooges.
No.
So yeah, they do it.
Yeah,
they're a match made in heaven.
I do think this is a charming scene, and I think their chemistry is good in the scene. I'm gonna say it. I like the scene, and maybe it's because I have this silly memory of like, you know. Also, I probably felt kind of weird that we like got to the scene, and I'm with all my friends, and we're watching like a '90s movie where these people are starting to get it on, and I'm like, this is kind of strange. And there's some people from school that I didn't know as well that were also at Shane's
rager,
house.
Just a huge party.
I think there were, you know, like 20 people there.
And you made everyone watch Lethal Weapon 3.
I'm sure some people like, you know, went swimming or something, but.
How could you show your face to those people ever again?
Well, I sure made up for it with the Bourne Identity. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, that's true. Have we told people about that? I think we have.
But we'll save it for whenever we cover the Bourne Identity. That's not a wink wink. We already said what we're covering next, so we don't even have that on the calendar.
Please,
yet.
I can't cover that this year. I think. I hope.
They're so good.
I don't want to.
I know. Okay.
Here's the thing. I know I've seen the first one and others on TV, and I know the first one's sweet, but political thrillers are hard.
They're not really political, these ones. They kind of took all that out of
right.
it.
So, I don't know. I guess for me, espionage is, for some reason, not my first choice. And I don't know why.
Brother.
I don't know why.
Brother.
Maybe it's simply, I don't know. We could talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this. I'm starting to get mad with how much you're throwing away good old Jason Bourne. Or David Webb, as we call him. So, the scar scene. I'm not actually mad. You said sorry, like, it seemed genuine. Oh. Okay, guess you're just a good actor. So then, I almost said Shane because I have written Shane's house. Riggs, mm-hmm. not to be confused with Shane. He goes to the boat that Danny's on, who's drunk, and he's so upset that he killed that kid. That's understandable. All this stuff could have worked in a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this big fight, you know, and he's like, you're retiring. You're selfish for retiring.
Yeah. Because you know who you're leaving behind? Me.
Me.
And I'm part of your family, and you're leaving as your whole family is leaving me.
Yeah, which I get.
Sweet.
In a better movie, that would have hit
Why
hard.
Isn't this the emotional... I mean, they're making it like the emotional crux, but this
like
movie
an hour
was
and a
so
half into this
unintelligible
movie
leading up into this point
yeah.
that I didn't care.
Yeah. Do we need to throw the binky in, or what's she doing?
Has it.
Oh, she's got it? Okay. Sorry for all the interruptions there, folks. But we're leaving it in. We're parents, and we need you to sign up for Patreon so that we have more time to record. Okay, so Then I write, they track down the gun guy. And then I wrote, this, it's PMS, it's murder.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they go, they start interrogating people, and they go to this, like, mechanic shop.
Uh-huh.
And they're interrogating this guy, and then other bad guys show up. And then Lorna starts beating up on the guys.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually Murtaugh's like, I'll help or I'll jump in, like, at the very end, and, like, punches a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
This interrogation thing is so weird. It's just, like, we don't know who these people are.
Don't know who they are. Don't know. I can't understand the questions they're asking.
And then they
and
just
then
kind
she
of
just
appear.
Starts fighting people. And then yeah. she almost hits Murtaugh because in the throes of battle. And then she just laughs it off and is like, I'm PMSing really hard. What?
Yeah. This PMS. She says, this PMS, it's murder.
Yeah.
Like I'm having PMS so hard. It's like murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 90s joke if I've ever heard one. And then Leo gets back to them at the station. He says they F you at the doctor, but it's not as funny, and it kind of feels something about they F you at the doctor feels a lot grosser than they F you in the drive-thru, you know?
Sure.
I just don't. Yeah, that's a little icky. So then it's a big freeway chase.
Okay.
And Mel gets on a big motorcycle. I thought this was the end of the movie, and Jordan was like, we got to finish this tomorrow. And I said, oh, come on, let's not. And then eventually it was like, okay, Talia was waking up, you know.
Gotta go to bed. I was mad that this movie was going to go past my bedtime.
Yeah, so then it was like, all right, fine, we'll just finish it tomorrow and watch the last 5 minutes. There's like 30 or 40 minutes after this, so mm-hmm. it was the right call. But yeah, there's a big freeway chase. Anything to note about it that you found?
Just that it was long. Didn't know what happened.
And it'll be improved upon 2 years later in Speed 2.
Yes.
Or Speed 1, not Speed 2.
Yes, Speed 1.
Yeah. And then Leo catches up to them somehow. And they're like, don't follow us. And they shoot out his tires.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because I think he said
he knew some information they needed, and is that how they probably knew how to get to the construction site?
Yeah,
for the big showdown that essentially.
I like this scene. I think this scene was great.
Yeah,
as far as
Mel drives
goes.
Through it with gas leaking out of the truck, and then they set it on fire. Everything gets on fire.
The only thing that's lame is the killing of the bad guy,
because
he's getting Mel is getting like pinned down by like a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoots at it, and he's like shooting at just like the bucket on mm-hmm. front, and everything's bouncing off, and it's like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets thrown the other gun that has the armor piercing bullets, and he shoots through it. But it was
that's how I think I looked away.
I was
probably
like,
fell asleep.
You could have rolled to the side, and then done it, or you know, and it just didn't make sense that he was shooting the like he's smarter than that.
I know.
Yeah, he was saving it for the right occasion. You know, Danny Glover keeps saying, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. And then, he decides not to retire.
Yeah. His family all comes to the bathroom again while he's taking a soak. They do put a little towel over him this time.
Yeah.
And he says he's not retiring, and his wife does not look happy about it.
Yeah. And I,
and they're not selling the house either.
I just feel like he should have. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense to me that he wouldn't retire.
I don't know what happened during this movie. So him making that decision at the end is kind of like, okay, I don't know.
It just seems like he could be like, Riggs, I'm retiring, but you better be here for dinner tonight and every night following that or something like that. Like, you're part of this family, but I got to move on.
Yeah.
Because it's like now he has to just be on the force for
forever.
Just so that this guy can stay mentally stable. That's not great. I mean, it makes for a sequel setup, you know, that's why they have to do it, I guess, but
it's stupid.
Yeah. It's
going to be stupid.
It's not very good.
No,
it really isn't good. We kind of zoomed there at the end, but sometimes you got to zoom just like the Mazda kid.
Zoom, zoom.
Yeah, you got it. So
what happened to that kid? Where do you think he is today?
I don't know. Probably
driving a Mazda.
probably driving
along
a dang Mazda.
California coast.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Lethal Weapon 3?
Don't watch this movie. It's a waste of time.
Wow. Oh, man. We're getting out of here pretty quick. Okay.
You said we were over an hour.
But an hour and 2 minutes. Not much over an hour.
We did a 30-minute episode recently.
Well, yeah. But that's secret. Nobody listened to that, probably. Or maybe they did.
Maybe they saw it and they were like, why so short?
But we dropped a bonus episode that day to make up for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal, folks. March 23rd. Eden Ballroom, I am playing the 10-year anniversary of my very first album, Till Life Turns Over, 6-piece band, to be filmed, to be recorded. You have to be there, $7. Just come to it. Doors at 6, Grants Pass, Eden Ballroom. Be there. Do not miss this show. It is going to be epic, I'll say. It is going to be fantastic. We've been working hard. We're practicing now, and we got killer stuff going on. So go, come to this show.
Do it.
That's what I got. What about you?
What is, I mean, yeah, I,
we're in March for this ep.
Stay tuned for May. Got a lot of art stuff happening in May. So doing some art shows tabling art at some events locally in Medford, as well as have a gallery opening May 17th.
Wow. Pretty cool stuff. Cool stuff in the macaw world. Support us or else. Next week, it's Lethal Weapon 4. And since it is March, oh, yeah, it's March. We have an episode on our Patreon of Trainspotting.
Ah.
And I believe we have Case Aiken on that episode.
Cool.
I believe. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I hope you're right.
Either that or he's on the next one after that. I'm pretty sure he's on that one, though. Okay. All right. See you next week, folks.
Bye.